Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here this morning. And this morning I'm going to be speaking on Joshua 2. I'm going to be speaking on what is your faith in, or who is your faith in. And you know, we hear the word faith so much. So every day, if you're going for a job interview, you say, oh, I have faith that you're going to get that job. Or, you know, just have faith that well, it's going to be great. And in church, we'll be saying, have faith in God, you know, look to Him. So we hear the word faith everywhere, but what does that actually mean? So the word faith actually means to have complete trust or confidence in someone or something that you're hoping for. It means to be seeing or believing even before you physically see it happening. So to have faith is seeing it before you actually see it. And the Bible says about faith in 2 Corinthians that we live by faith and not by sight. So we live by faith knowing that Jesus is real, knowing that Jesus is here right now. Yeah. But we can't physically see Him. We can feel Him, we can sense Him, but we can't physically see Him. But by faith we're believing that Jesus is here with us. Yeah. And Jesus said to us in Mark, you know, have faith in God. He tells us we need to have faith. And in Matthew 17 He tells us, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that you'll be able to say to the mountain, move, and the mountain will move. He said, nothing will be impossible if you have this much faith. And He said, a mustard seed. So we know like the sesame seeds on bread and the chia seeds that you eat and there's loads of seeds. But they say the mustard seed is the smallest seed ever. And He's telling us to have that much faith. That much. That tiny little bit of faith. And it starts off with a little seed and you put it into a bit of dirt. And you water it and look after it and it begins to sprout up and then leaves begin to grow and it gets bigger and you have to move it into another pot and then that gets bigger and then eventually you have to move it into the garden. And the mustard seed becomes the biggest plant in the garden. Of all the plants that you're going to plant, the mustard plant will be the biggest one. And it started off with that tiny, tiny little seed. So today I'm going to be speaking about a woman who, against all odds, had that little bit of faith to believe that God could change her life. Amen. So a little bit of background about Joshua. Joshua was the right-hand man of Moses. God said to Moses, I'm going to show you the promised land, but you're not going to go into it because of your disbelief in me. But Joshua will raise up the Israelites and he's going to not only see the promised land, but he's going to take them into the promised land and that's where they live. So Moses dies, God buries him. And Joshua stands up and takes his rightful place that the Lord has put on his life. And at the start of Joshua 2, we see that Joshua sends out 2 spies into Jericho, which is the promised land that God has promised him. And he sends them out to suss it out to see where's the vulnerable part that we can get into. And he sends them out secretly, that he doesn't tell the rest of the camp, I'm sending these spies out. He just sends them out secretly. But why did he send them out secretly? Because if you were reading back a couple of months ago, we are in the book of Numbers, and Moses sent out 12 spies to suss out the land. And 10 came back saying, there's no way we're going to get that land. There are giants, and they're big, and they're warriors, and they're this, and they're that. And there's no way we're going to take this land. But 2 came back out of the 12 and said, of course we will. You see, if God is with us, who can be against us? And these 2 was Caleb and Joshua. So this is the Joshua that's sending out these spies. And I think he realised, like the last time there was a bit of commotion, like they came back and they brought fear into the camp, letting the camp know, we're not going to take this land. They brought fear, they brought disappointment. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to learn by the mistakes and I'm only going to send 2. And I'm not telling the whole camp I'm sending them, I'm going to send them out in secret. But either way, whatever they say when they come back, I'm still going to take the land because God has told me I'm going to take the land. So the spies go out and they come across this house. And this house belongs to a woman who's a prostitute and her name was Rahab. And they go into the house and they stay in the house with this woman so they can suss out the land. Now maybe they thought, if I'm in this house with the prostitute, nobody's going to notice us. They're going to just think it's 2 more men going in to see this woman. So everybody goes into her. So we're not going to be noticed. But somebody noticed them. Someone noticed that they were Israelites. Someone noticed that they weren't just going in to spend time with this woman. So they go to the king and they say, look, there's 2 guys gone into your woman's house and we don't think they're in there for a good time. We think they're in there to suss out this land. So the king sends his men to Rahab's house to say, send their men out. And Rahab hides the men up on the roof. And the king's men arrive and say, two guys went into your house. And she was like, yes, they were here. I have no idea who they were, and I have no idea where they've gone. Because she said, the city gates were just about to get closed, and they left. So I have no idea where they are. But if you go after them, I'm sure you'll catch up on them. Because it's not that long ago since they left. So they go chasing the two guys. And Rahab goes up to the roof, and she says to the spies, I know that the Lord is on your side, and I know that he has given you this land. And she said, we're all afraid of you. So she's speaking about the whole lot, the whole city of Jericho. We're all afraid of you because we heard about the God that you serve. We heard about how he took you out of Egypt. We heard about how he split the Red Sea and you crossed over. We heard how you defeated all the Amorite kings and you took over all the other lands. And she makes a statement. She says, I know that the Lord your God, who you serve, is the God of heaven and earth. So she recognises who this God is that they are serving. And without realising that she's making this statement, she's declaring the greatness of their God. Over all the gods that she serves, she's declaring the greatness of their God. And so we pick it up in Joshua 2, and it's verse 12, down to 21. So this is Rahab speaking. She says, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. So give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we're doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, because the house she lived on was part of the city wall. She said to them, go into the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there for 3 days until they return, and then you go on your way. Now the men said to her, this oath that you made with us, you made us swear, will not be binding on us unless when we enter back into this land that you have tied a scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father, your brother, your mother, your sisters, and all your family into the house, if any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from this oath that you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Now verse 14 says, we will treat you kindly. The guy said to her, we will treat you kindly when the Lord gives us the land. They didn't say if the Lord gives us the land. They said when. So they knew they were going to take over that land. And so the city gates were about to close, so the guys couldn't leave the way they came in. And her house was built into the wall, so she had to let them out the window so nobody would see them. And Rahab knew that this Israelite army was coming. She didn't know when, but she knew they were definitely coming. And she wanted to keep herself safe. She wanted to keep her family safe. And she was trusting in these two guys that she'd never met before. And she was putting her faith in their God. She didn't even know who their God was. She heard of him. But she was beginning to put her faith into their God. And she said, swear to me by your Lord that you're going to show kindness. So immediately, she was bringing God into her situation. And they make the deal where they're saying, look, if your family is in the house when we come, they're protected. But if they're outside, we're not going chasing around the city looking for them. If they're outside, it's on their own heads. But if they're inside, we'll protect them. So the scarlet cord was going to show the Israelites, don't touch this house. Don't go near this house where the scarlet cord is hanging. And it reminds me of the blood that was put over the Israelites' door. When Moses went to Pharaoh and says, let the people go, and he says to the Israelites, paint blood over your door, the blood of the lamb, put it over the door, and anyone who was inside that house will be protected. You see, the blood over the door represented the blood of the ultimate lamb. So protection was there behind the blood. And this scarlet rope that was hanging over Rahab's window represented the blood of the Lamb. So whoever was in that home was protected. And Rahab didn't waste any time. She didn't wait for a week. She didn't wait until she could see the army. She didn't wait until she could hear the marching down the valley. She immediately, after the two spies were gone, she immediately got that scarlet rope. She tied it in the window and she left it hanging down, swinging in the breeze. She was like, I'm not taking any chances. In case I missed them, I'm not taking any chances. That rope is going out now. And I can imagine her just saying, right, the rope is out. What do I do now? So she runs around the city to her family. She goes telling them, you need to come. You need to stay in my house over the next couple of days. The Israelites are coming. They're going to take the land. They're going to kill everybody. But if you're in my house, you're going to be protected. And they're probably looking at her like, what? Like, what are you on about? And she's like, I'm telling you, like, the God of Israel is going to protect us. He's going to keep us safe. And they're probably thinking, she's off her head. But they listen to her and they go to the house. And maybe they're just thinking, we'll just go and keep her quiet. We'll see what happens here. Or maybe they believed and they thought, I'm going to put my faith in God too and see what happens. So Rahab protected the spies against the king, against her king, against her men, against her country. And when she'd done that, she automatically sided with the Israelites. She made a decision there and then to protect them, even though it was going against the king, even though it was going against her country. She lied to her king. She lied to the face of the men that came to the house, belonged to the king. She could have easily said at any time, the guys are up on the roof, yet they are here, and they're hiding up on the roof. She knew if she had been found out that she could have been done for treason. She knew that not only her, but maybe her family would have been killed too. See, she was going against her king, and she was helping the enemy. For two strangers. Like, why would you put yourself in danger? For two strangers. She did it because she said to them, I know the Lord has given you this land. And I know that the God that you're serving is the God of heaven and earth. She knew it. So she wasn't going to take a chance. She knew that no matter what her king did, no matter what the Canaanite army did, no matter how big they were never going to defeat the Lord. Never. So by hanging that cord out the window, she was making a declaration in her heart and a conscious decision in her mind that she was about to put her faith in God, the one true God. She made the decision, I'm going to get my family saved as well. So she makes a promise with these guys, I won't rat on you, you keep us safe. But you see, the Lord already had a plan for Rahab. Long before the Israelites came to Jericho, long before these two guys came into her house, the Lord already had a plan for her life. It was already mapped out, long before she knew God, long before she decided to put her trust in him, the Lord had a plan for her life to be mapped out. You see, to the spies, Rahab was just a Gentile. She was just a Canaanite woman that came from a world of pagan worship, where they worshipped everything. And she was just a prostitute. So she was of no value, really. And her house was built in the city gates. So everyone walking in and out would have seen this woman every day. Strangers coming to visit the city, people that lived in the city would walk by her house every day. And she was probably mocked. She was probably jeered. They probably put her down on a daily basis. And I don't think, as a young girl, Rahab thought, I can't wait till I'm older because I'm going to become a prostitute. I can't wait till I get to a certain age and I'm going to be used and abused by every man I meet. I don't think that was her dream at all. I don't think she wanted to be known as the woman who was lower than anything else. You see, I think life's hurt and pain led her down that path. And to the community and to her family, she was just known as Rahab the harlot. That was it. That's just your woman down the road. You know your woman down the road that lives in the well? She's just a prostitute. See, it was no secret what her occupation was. She had no value. She had no worth. She was probably full of shame. She was being used and abused on a daily basis. She had no hope. She had no plan for the future. She just continued living in this life, day in and day out, in pain and hurt. And maybe every day putting the makeup on and putting a smile on when the guys walk in, but inside, her heart was shattered to pieces. She felt worthless. She felt nothing. You see, the smile can just, oh yeah, I'm alright, but inside, she was a broken, broken woman. And then one day she had a suddenly moment.
Yeah.
You see, one day she seen light at the end of the dark tunnel. One day she seen an opportunity,
yeah,
a glimmer of hope to not only change her life, but to also change the life of her family.
Yeah.
You see, she dared to believe that if this God, the God of the Israelites, was a forgiving God and took them out of bondage, she dared to believe that maybe he can save me. Maybe he can take me out of my Egypt. Maybe he can take me away from my hurt, my shame. Maybe he can take me out of this world where I'm just being put down, trapped in a world of bondage and chains, trapped in a world where no one cares about me. And maybe her head begins to do a number on it, and she's thinking, oh, I'm just a Gentile. I'm not even an Israelite. I'm just a Gentile. I'm a Canaanite woman. I'm just a prostitute. Why would God want to do anything with me? But then that tiny bit of faith, that little tiny seed at the side of the mustard seed, begins to spring up in her. You see, this little seed, she grabs hold of it, not only for herself, but she grabs hold of it for her family. She begins to believe that these spies are going to help her. These spies are going to go back and they're going to tell the army, guys, as soon as you see that red cord, don't go near that house. Don't touch anybody in that house. She begins to put her trust in them. She begins to put her faith in this God that she had heard so much about. Rahab made the decision that day, I'm going to put my faith in this God. I don't know what the outcome will be, and I don't know where it's even going to lead me. But I'm tired. I'm tired of the lifestyle that I'm living. I'm tired of being used and abused. I'm tired of feeling shame. I'm tired of people putting me down. I'm tired of not being respected. I'm tired of people not seeing me, but just seeing what I have become. They don't see me. They just see what I do. You see, she no longer wanted to be that person. She no longer wanted to be Rahab the harlot who lives in the city wall. She just wanted to be someone who was loved, someone who was accepted, someone that had a tiny bit of value in their life. She wanted her family to see her different. She wanted her country to see her different. Her friends. She wanted to be different. And because of that tiny bit of faith that she put in God, the Lord honoured her. He honoured her and he restored her life.
Amen.
See, because of that tiny bit of faith, Rahab was saved. And so was her family. The Israelite army came and they took over Jericho. But they were saved. In chapter 6, Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into that prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her, in accordance with the oath that you made to her. So the two young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, her sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought them out, the entire family, and placed them in a place outside of the camp of Israel. Rahab was saved. The whole family was saved. The whole lot of them, because of this tiny bit of faith that she put in God. You see, her faith in God led for her life to be transformed. She was able to leave behind her sinful life. Her faith gave her the courage to reject the past identity of what she was known as and put her faith in the identity of what God is going to call her now. Her faith gave her confidence to see that her identity is about to be changed. You see, she didn't know what the outcome was going to be. She didn't know if the spies were going to be truthful to her. The spies didn't know what the outcome was going to be. They just said, we're going to respect her. She helped us, we'll help her. They didn't know the outcome. Joshua didn't even know the outcome. He just said, you have to respect her. She helped you. You need to help her back. But you see, the Lord knew the outcome.
Amen.
You see, he had a plan all along. And the plan was that this Gentile, this Canaanite prostitute that had no hope and no future, who dared to believe in him and believe him for a better life. See, after Jericho was defeated, God turned her life right around. She meets a man, a well-to-do man, from the tribe of Judah. His name was Salmon, and she married him. Like, this woman that was used and abused by every man she met meets a well-to-do man. So he has money. He has money he's able to look after. He's from the tribe of Judah, which means he's an Israelite. He's one of God's own. And he falls in love with her, and he marries her. Like, how beautiful is that? But that's not the best part. That's not the best part. You see, when they got married, they had a son. And they called the son Boaz. And Boaz grew up, and he got married to a Moabite woman named Ruth. And they had a son. And they called their son Obed, or something like that. And then they had a son, and they called their son Jesse. And Jesse had a son, and he called his youngest son David, who was the king of Israel, who grew up to be the greatest king in all of Israel ever. There was no other king ever like David. David had a son, and they named him Solomon. He was the wisest man that ever walked the earth. Then he had a son, and he had a son, and they all have mad names, so I'm not even going to try pronounce what their names are. But this led down to the lineage of Jesus. This led down to Jesus being born. You see, this woman, who was a nobody in her family's eyes, she was a nobody in her community's eyes, she becomes the great-great-grandmother of King David. Even better than that, she is in the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. The Jesus that we're singing about this morning. Yeah. This woman is the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus. The Son of God is in the lineage of a used and abused woman.
That's right. Come on.
You see, the story of Jericho may be about destruction and death, tearing the city down, but the story of Rahab is about reconstruction and new life. You see, your past is your past. It doesn't have control over your future. See, God can take the mess of a life and turn it into a miracle.
Amen.
God can work on your today in spite of your yesterday.
Amen.
He takes the unqualified and he makes them qualified. He calls the abandoned and the orphan, and he calls them his children. You see, there is nothing too big, too dark, too gruesome that you can do that God cannot change. He's a God of deliverance. He's a God of forgiveness. And he's a God with unconditional love.
Amen.
And a couple of weeks ago, when we were meeting in Fossil Row, if any of us were there, Thomas Carney shared a story. And in his story, Thomas said, "My grandchildren don't know the old Tom. His kids know the old Tom, his ex-wife knows the old Tom, but his grandchildren have no idea who the old Thomas was." You see, his past is his past, and it doesn't define his future. What or who is your faith in today? Is it in position? Is it in prosperity? Is it in relationships? Is it in social media? How many thumbs up you can get? How many followers you have? See, none of that will help you sleep peacefully at night. Social media followers don't care about you. To them, you're just another thumbs up. You're just another like on the page. They don't care about you. They don't care about your heart. They won't try to heal you. They won't sit with you. They won't cry with you. They won't pray with you. There's no way they'll even try to walk down your past road with you. You see, Rahab had a suddenly moment. It clicked. The penny dropped. I don't have to live like this anymore. I don't have to sell myself for a few quid. I don't have to stay this person. You see, the enemy would probably say to her, "But it's a job." And these days, there's new words put on things, isn't it? They say, "Oh, you have a job, you're a sex worker." No. Your past is your past. No matter what the enemy says or what he tries to butter up or make nice, the past is the past, and it doesn't have to determine your future. You see, when we turn to the Lord, our past stays in the past. He gives us a new future. And if Rahab walked into this room right now, she'd say to you, "If God can change me, he can certainly change you."
Amen.
You see, she never dreamed of having a great life. All she wanted was to be loved. That's all she wanted. She never dreamed that hundreds of years later that the writer in the book of Hebrews would speak about her and she'd be in the Hall of Faith. This used and abused woman is now in the Hall of Faith because of the tiny bit of faith she said, I'm going to put in God. Because of that, she is right in the centre of the life of Jesus. She would tell you, it's who you put your faith in that matters. And who you put your faith in, it needs to be the God who sees all, the God who knows all, and the God who created all.
Amen.
You see, she said to the spies at the beginning, I know that the Lord your God is the God of heaven and earth. And I know he's the only God that he can change lives. I know he's the only God that can take my past and give me a better future. It's who we put our trust in. See, it wasn't only Rahab saved, it was her family. They had a new home, a new identity. They were a whole new family, right in the centre line of the life of Jesus. Imagine where you would be if you put that tiny bit of faith into Jesus. Imagine what can happen in your life, in your family's life. You see, when we do things, it doesn't just affect us. It affects everybody around us. So when the Lord comes and heals us, he heals everybody around us. When we put our faith in him, he comes and meets us where we're at. And he changes us. He changes us from the mess into the messenger.
Amen.
He gives us new life. He gives us new life. I'm just going to ask everybody to stand. Actually, I'm going to ask everybody to come forward. And I don't know what your life is like. I don't know if you know who this Jesus is, or if you're just here because someone brought you. I don't know if you're here because you come every Sunday and it's just something that you do. You just go to church on a Sunday. But see, today, Patrice said it earlier, today is the day where we're given the chance, we're given the opportunity to meet this Jesus. And it's as simple as saying, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Jesus, I know who you are. And I ask you to come and live in my heart. Come and forgive me of everything that I've done. Change my heart, Lord. And make me a new person.
Amen.
It's as simple as that. There's no big drama. There's no big lights and big production. It's as simple as being honest and saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you. And if you only have that tiny bit of faith, the size of a mustard seed, that's all you need. You see, that grows into the biggest plant in the garden. So that's all we need. That's all we need.